This is Elaine H. Rosen on July 6, 1985, doing an oral history interview for the Pittsburgh section of National Council of Jewish Women, interviewing Benjamin H. Rosen, who was born in McKeesport, spent the majority of his adult life in Pittsburgh, and is currently residing in North Miami, Florida. Mr. Rosen, tell me about your parents. Where did they come from originally?
My parents were born in what was then Austria-Hungary, and they emigrated, I believe, about 1897 and went directly to McKeesport, where my mother's parents had already come from the same community.
Now, why did they leave Austria-Hungary in the first place?
My father was subject to military conscription, and being an Orthodox Jew, he found this especially onerous, inasmuch as it interfered with his religious observance. Therefore, they slipped out of the country as soon as possible and came to the United States.
And did they leave other family members behind?
They brought with them an infant son. The rest of my siblings, and there were nine of us in all, were born in McKeesport.
And would you tell me the names of your parents?
My father's name was Moses, Moshe, and my mother's name was Rose, Reza. Her maiden name was Prager.
How did your father earn a living in Europe?
As I recall, he first worked in a small Toby factory.
What's a Toby?
A Toby is a poor man's version of a cigar. I believe it is more or less a Western Pennsylvania product. I don't think I've ever heard of it anywhere else. He subsequently had his own factory and then had to give it up because the tobacco leaf threw off dust, which was affecting his lungs. He then opened up a small working glove factory, cotton gloves. I don't know why he gave that up. His next move as an entrepreneur...
Was this here in McKeesport? Are we talking
this
back?
This was all in McKeesport.
Okay.
His next move, I believe, was to open a small grocery store. And that was his last business before we moved to Pittsburgh.
Oh, so he didn't spend all of his life in McKeesport.
We moved to Pittsburgh in 1923. I was 15 at that time. I had completed 2 years of high school at McKeesport High.
Why did he leave McKeesport? Why did the family move?
My father's family were largely in Pittsburgh. Other than that, I cannot say why we moved there. His brothers were there. He had two brothers there. He had other siblings in New York, none in McKeesport. My mother's parents had already died, so she had no direct or media ties.
Had they come over from Europe too?
I believe I mentioned that they had preceded my parents to the Peace Corps.
Did your mother work at all?
She helped out in the grocery store, I know. I don't know. Oh, there was one other business my father was in, I forgot. Before the grocery store, he opened up a clothing store. But that didn't last because in those days, business done on Saturday was equal to or greater than business that was done the rest of the week in the clothing business anyhow. And therefore, unless he was prepared to keep the store open on Saturday, he couldn't make out.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an observant Orthodox Jew, and therefore he had to give up the clothing business. And after that, he went into the grocery business.
Did you once tell me that he was also a shochet? That
he was never a shochet. No, he was never a shochet, but he was able, so he thought and said, to break spells.
Mm-hmm.
The Yiddish term, as I recall, is upsprechen. It seems that this capability was passed on from father to son, and by saying a prayer of which, whose words I do not know, he would be felt, and many others felt, be able to break a spell. In fact, I know he told of at least one case where a Gentile child was dying because a spell had been cast on him. And he said his prayer, and the child's life was saved, even though the doctors had given up on the child.
So he was he exercised what we call a dibbuk, an evil spirit.
Although I think this, in my day, we didn't speak of exercising. This was breaking the spell caused by a Kanahora.
The evil eye.
The evil eye.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, so from what you've told me, your father and mother were religiously observant Jews, so the home, I assume, was very kosher, and the Sabbath, you said, was observed.
Yes.
And how did this filter down or not filter down with the children?
I think you probably will be interested in knowing about the religious life of the community in which I lived. But I want to emphasize, my recollections go back to the time when I was quite young, and they may be somewhat imperfect. We lived in the first ward of McKeesport, which was circumscribed by the two rivers, the Youghiogheny and the Monongahela rivers, which came to a junction there. And in this small area, there were a number of synagogues. The major portion of the population, the Jewish population, was centered in this area. And of this Jewish population, by far the largest part was of Hungarian origin. Our origin was not Hungarian. It was Galician, since my parents came from the province of Galicia. Generally, the Jews of a particular origin had a synagogue of their own, which they attended. And there were a number of synagogues, all concentrated in this area. And we attended services regularly. We were started to the Jewish school or cheder as soon as we were five. I can recall when I was five, my father got out his clippers and clipped my head bald, and I was started to cheder. Now, you asked how this religious feeling percolated down. It varied from child to child. I was never deeply religious. I was an ethnic Jew and feel strongly my Jewishness, and have always supported Jewish causes and continue to, but I've never been religious. I've always belonged to one or more Jewish congregations, but I haven't attended them on a regular basis. My parents did, and various members of my family responded variously to this influence. We observe all of the Jewish holidays, and we attended, in my youth, I of course attended all of the services with my father and my siblings.
Which one of them took to the religion?
My immediately older brother, who was 3 years older than I,
whose name is
Harry, was always religious, and he still has a deeply religious feeling. In fact, we nicknamed him the rabbi.
I think probably now would be a good point. We would be at a good point to run down the list of your siblings, their names, and what they did with their lives. What professions they entered into. Yeah, on tape. You could start with the oldest, the one that came over with your parents.
Sam. Never went to college. He enlisted in the Marines, World War I. And his working life was as a salesman. Abe was a good student and ambitious, and had entered college intending to be a lawyer. He's working his way through, and during summer vacation from college 1 year, he was killed.
By a train? Was that? Who was next after your brother Abe?
Eva.
Alan's mother. Mm-hmm.
Eva, she never went to college, and she married somebody in Pittsburgh, had two daughters, and she's not dead. Fanny became a school teacher. She had no children. A lawyer, semi-retired, living in Pittsburgh. He has a son who is practicing surgery in Atlanta, Georgia, and her daughter was living in Pittsburgh. I was next.
And what year were you born?
I was born June 14th, 1908.
So that makes you 77 years old.
77. Yeah. And I want you to make note.
Yeah.
On my birthday, everybody hoists their flag.
That wouldn't be a coincidence with it being Flag Day, would it?
Pearl had a daughter, and it did. Sylvia has two sons and is living in Pittsburgh. Her sons were prominent in Pittsburgh in Jewish philanthropy.
Mm-hmm.
Pacey and Mark Bassman. Albert, the youngest, is a clinical psychologist in Washington, D.C., and has two daughters.
Did your brothers and sisters have jobs while they were growing up? What was the economic situation of the family?
Well, we were never affluent. During the Depression, Harry and I supported the family. We worked our way through.
And what courses did you particularly enjoy in school? What were the things that you excelled in?
Well, I always was a serious student. And, of course, my chosen field was law. And I had a rather Catholic interest.
Mm-hmm.
And continued to have in all my readings and in any courses that I take in the university near my present home.
Now, tell me about your wife. When did you meet her? And tell me a little bit about her.
My wife's maiden name was Broth. Her family are in the jewelry business in Pittsburgh. I met her at Camp Tamamount in Pennsylvania in 1936, and we were married in 1938.
And you just celebrated your 47th wedding anniversary 3 days ago.
That's right.
Very nice. Now, when you first got married, what were the types of jobs that you... were you always an attorney, or did you have part-time jobs in addition? Putting yourself through law school, actually.
Yes, I did put myself through law school. In fact, I put myself through college. I started practicing law in 1931. We were married in 1938.
Mm-hmm. And you have two children?
I have two sons. I feel that the only contribution that I can truly point to with pride I've made to the Jewish community. And when I say I should say we, because both my wife and I participate in this endeavor, and that was to raise two sons of whom we are proud, Richard D. and Lawrence J.
And they have children? You have grandchildren?
We have two sons. We have four granddaughters. Now, our granddaughters, to this date, are being reared with a strong orientation towards things Jewish, and they're learning to be proficient in Judaism. Our third granddaughter is now in Israel for a 6-week stay, and hopefully our fourth granddaughter will also get to visit Israel. They are very much interested in Jewish communal activities, and hopefully will make their contribution to the community endeavors.
Amen. I think now I'd like to ask you, there's a question here, what did you do as an adolescent for fun and recreation? It seems that you were very busy getting ahead. I'm sure you also had time for fun.
As a youngster, I played the usual games. We didn't have all of the toys that are available to children today. The usual games were ball. There was some jumping of rope when we were very young, spinning tops, and an occasional fist fight.
Where I understand your brother used to come to your aid and broke his thumb.
When necessary. Later on, I really didn't have any time for the less serious things. I was pretty busy. I was a serious student. I was in a hurry to get through, and therefore took a heavy course load. And for example, when we moved to Pittsburgh, I had completed 2 years of high school in McKeesport, and in order to speed things up, I took some extra courses, took English in summer school, and cut off one semester and got into college in mid-year. As a result, since law school started in September, it was necessary for me to accelerate again. So I reduced my time in college to 3.5 years and entered law school in 1928. But despite that, I did well and managed to graduate from college with high honors.
Did you set up a law firm with your brother Harry? Because I remember it said Rosen and Rosen on the stationery.
Yes, we were associated.
Mm-hmm. Now, you probably didn't have much in the way of vacation time. Or certainly not the way our children travel. What kind of vacations do you remember taking after you got married, when you went with your own family? What was that like?
Well, after I got married and gradually built up some measure of affluence, I was able to take some rather expensive vacations. We traveled a lot. Our first trip to Israel was in 1954, and we've been back there several times since, once on a business trip as a director of a company which was formed in partnership with the Israeli government under the auspices of the Israeli Atomic Energy Division. We've been to the Far East, the Near East, Europe, South America, Central America, Mexico, Canada, Alaska.
Mm, so you've more or less been all over the world.
Except we haven't been in Australia, the South Pacific region, we haven't been there.
And I assume from what you've been saying that your health has always been excellent to enable you to travel like that.
Yes, I've been fortunate. My health has been good, and I consider myself in prime health right now.
Do you do anything to encourage the situation? What's your secret or your formula?
Well, you always start with genes. Apparently, I had the right genes. When I was younger, I never had the opportunity to indulge myself so that I didn't develop any bad habits on account of indulgence, whatever that involved. And now that I am retired and have been for some years, I have the time to engage in physical activities, and as a result, I maintain a good state of health and don't have to watch my diet in any way and don't have to take any medication.
Well, what are some of the daily activities that you engage in on a regular basis?
Well, generally, I start by getting up rather early, 7 or before. After breakfast, I walk about 3 miles at a vigorous clip. I bicycle in my neighborhood, possibly 5 miles or so in about a half hour, 40 minutes. I use the stairs far more frequently than I use the elevator.
And what floor do you live on?
I live on the 12th floor. I swim continuously for a half hour or so, and this all within a couple of hours in the morning. And now, as far as keeping myself mentally occupied, I enjoy reading and do a lot of reading. Whenever I find some courses that interest me at Florida International University near my home, I enroll for those courses. I have found courses involving aging and death useful to me because of my being surrounded by older people, and I wanted to learn what one can expect as one ages without accepting some of the myths and possibly the misunderstandings about aging. I was interested, for example, in knowing how aging affects memory. And I learned that in one aspect of memory, recognition that the older person is not at too much of a disadvantage as opposed to the young person, but on the level of recall, there definitely is a serious loss of capability. I was interested to know